You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network.
Packers Talk.
Well, that was a hell of a way for the whole thing to end, huh? And with that, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Lemps Talk and Pack. I'm your host, Chris Lempsis, and extremely dejected, Chris Lempsis, coming to you once again from my basement Packer room in my home in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, here to break down Green Bay's throw another choke job on the pile, 13-10 loss to the San Francisco 49ers on Saturday night at Lambeau Field. In the divisional round of the NFC playoffs. Yep. It's over. It's over. I can't, like, even now, it's, what, just after midnight? It's now Sunday morning. I kind of can't even believe I'm saying those words. I'm still. I mean, it definitely hasn't really sunk in yet. Probably won't for a while. If you can't tell by now, you probably can't, but I have no script for the show. I have nothing. Even by my standards, you know, when they play at night, I sometimes, you know, you're kind of on deadline, so to speak, so you kind of have a loose outline. I don't have really anything. I have a couple of bullet points and that's it. So this one's going to be, this is going to be really freewheeling Lemps on this one. This is just going to be stream of consciousness, off the cuff, whatever sounds right to talk about at that moment, that's what I'm going to talk about. So strap in, because it's going to be that kind of ride tonight. They blew it. They just completely and totally blew it. A team that had everything in front of them. They had everything. All the stars appeared to have aligned. They were at home. In cold weather. Against a West Coast team. Playing a quarterback with a busted thumb and a busted throwing shoulder on a short week. Getting guys. They had a bunch of guys back. Not everybody back. Which, of course, we'll get to as I move along here. But they were, you know, healthier than they've been really all season. We presume four-time, soon to be four-time MVP at quarterback. Best receiver on planet Earth. Everything. You name it. It was all lined up. It was all lined up for this team, and they choked. They completely and totally fucking gagged. I don't even know. I can't, you know. How did this happen? Like, I honestly didn't think I'd be sitting here talking to you guys and gals right now. I was fairly confident. I'll say it now. It looks like a moron in hindsight, but I was really confident that I wasn't even going to be doing a show tonight, that they would win. And then I would wait until tomorrow to see who they were going to play in the NFC Championship game at Lambeau. I'd do a show tomorrow night. Championship week, here we go. Like, I really was pretty confident. And not just me, Vegas. Vegas was confident. Vegas had him as they were the highest line of the week. Did it close at 5.5? It was 5.5 as of this afternoon. Vegas was the most sure that Green Bay was going to win. And they blew it. How did that happen? How does this all happen with all of this lined up? This team that's playoff, this isn't their first run in the playoffs. I can't believe it. Third year in a row having a bye. Second year in a row being the only team in the NFC with a bye. Home field advantage throughout the last 2 years. No Super Bowls. What are the odds? I was going to look it up, and then I didn't. I really just didn't want to. I know I've seen it before. I know the odds are incredibly high that if you have a bye, you make the Super Bowl. What are the odds of having a bye 3 years in a row and not... It seems impossible! It seems to defy mathematics! And yet, the Packers did it. They sure did it, didn't they? Oh my god. I gotta do the shameless self-promotion. Before I really dive into this. Because I don't want to forget. Twitter, LempsMKE, at It's Just Chris Now. Facebook, Old Bag of Donuts, OL Bag of Donuts. The email, Old Bag of Donuts, OL Bag of Donuts at gmail.com. Oh, I got a lot of emails. We're going to get to all your tweets and emails. They're coming at the end. Don't worry, I'm going to get to them. For anyone listening on the Wonderful Packers Talk iTunes page, leave a rating, 5 stars. Those are the good ones. 4 are good, too. If you have a comment, that'd be awesome. If it's positive, if it's negative, you know what? Forget it. Just leave that, too. Who cares? Leave that, too. If you hate the show, fine. Whatever. Whatever, man. Couldn't feel any worse than I do right now, so screw it. We're on Spotify. You can find us by searching for Packers Talk. Look for our logo, which is the head of the Vince Lombardi statue, which sits outside Lambeau Field. Oh, my God. If Vince was watching this tonight, I can't even imagine how disgusted he is, wherever he is. I'd say Curly, too, but Curly Lambeau probably just got drunk. Curly Lambeau probably just got drunk on that last drive and just... He's probably drinking all day, wherever they are in the afterlife. We're on the iHeartRadio app. You can find us there. Any other platforms I haven't mentioned, let me know you listen there. That'd be cool. Is that it? That's probably it. Okay, now that I got that out of the way... I mean, I feel like I've already really been diving into this, but I guess I'll just continue. I shouldn't even say, let's go. Let's just continue to talk about this Packers L. An L that just stings really. It hurts. You know? This is going to be an interesting one tonight, I think. It's going to be part bitch fest. mostly bitch fest, but hopefully, I'm going to try my best to maybe explain what happened, maybe make you feel better. I don't know if I'll make you feel better, but at least you'll know you're not alone. I'm feeling bummed about all this. The special teams. That's where we have to start. I know people are going to go, well, Rodgers, don't worry. I'm going to rip Aaron Rodgers, don't worry. And Matt LaFleur, too. But the special teams. We said it all year. Every Packer fan said, I said it all year. If you've been listening, I've been saying all year on the show. All year I've been saying on this show. If they lost in the playoffs, the most likely culprit was, surprise, the special teams. And that's what did them in tonight, didn't it? Yep, it sure did. Cost Green Bay 13 points in this game. In a playoff game. That's bad in week 6 against Houston. In a playoff game? 13 points? From special teams? A group that spends... How much time does the special teams... How many special teams plays are there in a game? Comparatively. I don't even know. I'm not going to do the math. It's a fraction of, obviously, the time you spend on offense and defense. A tiny fraction of it. For special teams to cost Green Bay 13 points is... unforgivable. 13 points. The blocked field goal at the end of the first half where Tyler Lancaster blocked nobody. Deebo Samuel running the kickback out to the 50 to start the third quarter. Right? Because the field goal obviously cost the Packers 3 points at the end of the half. The Samuel field goal, or the Samuel return, put the Niners in position to go down the field and kick a field goal. I gotta take a drink. Oh my god. I should have hit the Kaiva cough button on this thing. I didn't hit it. Sorry about that. My voice is a little raw from yelling, as I'm sure a lot of your voices are too. The field goal. Obviously, that Lancaster blocked no one. Cost them 3 points. Blocked field goal. How many field goals have they had blocked this year? You know, teams go years without having field goals blocked? Like, multiple years. How many did the Packers have blocked this year? I can't even think off the top of my head, but you know it's a lot. How? That cost him 3 points. That's pretty big, huh? Then Samuel, starting the second half by running the kick out to the 50. Piss poor coverage. There's a surprise. Again, that put the Niners in position to go down the field and get a field goal. So that's three. And then the special, and then the block punt. The block punt. How does that happen with a block punt? To have a field goal and a punt block in the same game? How often does that even happen? Go ask Pro Football Reference. I bet it's pretty rare. Not for the Packers special teams, though. Isn't that amazing? Just a quick aside. There's going to be a lot of side streets tonight. Isn't it amazing that in the Rodgers era, they had we sat through the 2011 defense, which was statistically at the time, I don't know where they are now, but as of that year, they were one of the worst defenses in NFL history for a single season, the 2011 group. And then this year now, we have to sit through, I would guess, one of the worst special teams units in NFL history, probably the worst. In 10 years, to have that happen, in the span of, like, what, 10 seasons? 10 or 11 seasons? What are the odds on that? This Packers organization, boy, they sure defy the odds, huh? When it comes to shit. They defy the odds on being ass in key areas. That's for damn sure. So the block punt. That was, you know, that hurt. Because that really, that felt like that was, well, backtracking a little bit. The fourth and one. Rashawn Gary, what a titanic performance from young Rashawn Gary. That kid is going to be a superstar. One of the few guys tonight who can really go home and look himself in the mirror and feel good about what he did tonight. Just a monster performance from Gary, you know? Busts through on the fourth and one at the Green Bay 19. When's the last time you even saw the Packers do something like that? Gary brings Mitchell down behind the line of scrimmage. Packers take over. So what is it, about 6 minutes left now? Packers up 10-3. Okay. This is it. Now, okay, they've screwed around all night. 6 minutes left. The Packers are going to do that thing where they get two or three first downs. And Rodgers hits a couple of clutch throws, most likely to Adams. Packers win. Nope. Packers go three and out. How many of those did they have tonight? A lot. And they punt. Okay, but you just punt. Just punt. That's all you have to do. Run the operation. Punt. Couldn't do it. Punt gets blocked. Then the ball just sits there. No one knew where it was. No one ran over and recovered it. Anything. Something. Pick it up and throw it in the stands. Throw it to Suamico. Nothing. San Francisco picks it up, runs it in for the score. And be honest with yourself. Did you kind of think the game was over then? Because I kind of did. To have that play happen that late in the game, I know Packers have Rodgers, but seeing what the offense had done, or the lack of what they had done, you know, lack thereof, I weirdly felt like the game was over. I felt like I could kind of see how the rest of the game was going to unfold. And you can believe me or think I'm full of shit, but basically how I thought it was going to unfold is pretty much entirely how it unfolded. Yeah, pretty much how it unfolded. Packers get the ball back, three and out. Rodgers with the desperation heave on third and 11 to Adams into double coverage. Incomplete. And at that point, you know, even though it was a good punt from Boho, it just, San Francisco took over at their own 29 with 3:20 to go. I don't know, it just felt like they were going to win the game. Like, I could just see Gould making the game-winning kick. And that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what freaking happened. So, the special teams, that was, I mean... That's where you have to start when you tell the story of this game, is That cost Green Bay 13 points in a playoff game, and that is inexcusable. And that, to me, directly falls... People are going to say, oh, it falls on Mo Drayton. Well, yeah, I mean, I guess in the day-to-day sense, but in the bigger picture sense, no, that's entirely Matt LaFleur's fault. You know? That was a bad hire when he made it. No one liked that hire. Sean Menenga was a terrible special teams coordinator. And LaFleur thought it was a good idea to hire his assistant? That's a decision, if you've been listening to the show, you know I've been ripping that. I've ripped that decision all year. I said that last offseason when it happened, I didn't like the decision. I thought it was very questionable, and he never did anything to win me over. But it's on LaFleur, because LaFleur could have pulled the plug at multiple points. You know? Particularly, I'm thinking of the Kansas City game, where the special teams cost them a game they should have won. Now, it didn't matter in the end, because they got home field advantage. A lot of good that did! But that cost them that game in Kansas City, and I really thought that was going to be the breaking point. And it wasn't. And there were multiple points after that. I felt like he could have made the decision to fire Drayton. Multiple, points before and after the Kansas City game, where he could have done something and made a move and done something to try to salvage it. Didn't. Got up there every week like an arrogant bonehead. Nope. He's my guy. I'm not making a change. Nope. I believe in this group. I believe in him. Yeah. Good decision on that one, huh, Maddie? That's bad. You know, that was a terrible decision by LaFleur. It haunted this team all season. And I think, again, we all kind of knew that it was going to hurt them at some point. I don't know if we thought it would cost them a game, but again, I said all season, if you asked me to point to one culprit that would, I said it would be special teams, and it was. You know? Because Rodgers sucked. And I'm going to get to that in a minute. Rodgers was bad. The offense sucked. LaFleur called a terrible game. That's all true. It's all true. But it's the same thing I said after Kansas City on the show that night. Even though Jordan Love in that game did not play well. Did okay. Struggled. That heavy blitz from Kansas City had him all out of sorts. If the special teams just plays baseline special teams, they win the game. How about that? They win the game. Same thing tonight. If they block and Crosby makes the kick, and they just tackle a little better on a kickoff, take the Samuel thing out of it. Take the Samuel thing out of it, even. If Crosby makes the kick, and that punt doesn't get blocked, what is that? I don't even know. 13-6? Well, you're factoring in the Gould kick at the end. I don't know. Either way, whatever the score is, they win the game. You know what I'm saying. That 13-point swing, those three plays, even if you make a couple of them, even if you'd only had one special teams disaster, you know? Even if they'd only had the blocked field goal, but they tackle Samuel a little better on the kickoff, and they don't get the punt block. Even if you just had one... Just one Titanic disaster, you win the game. Sickening. It's sickening that this happened. Special teams should not cost you a playoff game. But this group, the 32nd ranked special teams, according to, is it Rick Goslin? Is that his name? From the Dallas Morning News? Is that who he's still with now? I don't even know. He does the special teams rankings every year. 32nd. They didn't even have 11 guys on the field. I haven't talked about Gould's kick. They didn't even have 11 guys on the field. They had 10. Biggest moment of the season. They even get 11 guys out there. Did you see the photo from Tom Pelissero on Twitter? They only had 10 guys. That reflects on Drayton, but it really reflects on LaFleur poorly. Because as a manager, if you've got someone beneath you who's in charge of people and they're doing a terrible job and you let him... Ultimately, the buck stops with you. And then to hear LaFleur tell the media after, oh, you know, I needed to be more involved in special teams. It took you until now to realize that, till the season's over? Embarrassing. It's embarrassing for Matt LaFleur on that, you know? And I thought LaFleur had a fairly embarrassing, you know, night overall. I'll just say it. I'll just kind of preface it by saying, I think the guy's Mike Sherman. And I hate saying that, man, because I had such high hopes for him. I really did. I thought he was going to be maybe not Lombardi, but I thought he had a chance to be Mike Holmgren. Or better than Mike McCarthy. Say somewhere between Holmgren and McCarthy in that range. A guy who certainly I thought would win a Super Bowl. I don't think that's happening in Green Bay now. Which, I'll get to that as I move on. But I think he's Mike Sherman, man. You know? Hires terrible coordinators. Terrible playoff coaching. Racks up those regular season wins, though, doesn't he? That's nice. That's great. Because, you know, Green Bay is nicknamed regular season win town. No, wait, I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. It's Title Town. It's Title Town. Yep. Yeah, it's not rack up regular season Winsville. So I didn't think he called a very good game tonight. Thought there was way too much running on first down in the first half. Like I think way too predictable, too conservative. And then I thought in the second half they didn't run enough. Now they were hamstrung a little bit on that because they didn't have AJ Dillon, as he got hurt right at the start of the third quarter, I believe. When was it that Dillon got looked at? Yeah, it was early in the third quarter he got hurt. Playing special teams, nice. So the stats, Rodgers attempted 13 passes in the second half, and Aaron Jones ran the ball 7 times. No carries for Dillon, and none for Equanimeous St. Brown, ESB as we call him here on the show. Thanks for the 1 carry for 1 yard on the end around. So, yeah, 13 passes to 7 runs in a close game like that. I didn't think that they made enough of an effort to run the ball in the second half after being too predictable with it in the first half. Just no feel for calling a game. The guy it's last year all over again when they should have run the ball more and didn't. I just don't think this guy has much of a feel for calling a game in the playoffs. I think you can say that now after 3 of these disasters. I think you can make that statement. I think it's enough of a sample size. Didn't like that. Really, really, really hated the offensive line, the way they stacked it up. Had a weird feeling about this game when I started seeing the tweets about how they were lining up at offensive line for pregame warmups. With Bakhtiari out, couldn't play, tried to give it a go. I guess he had soreness in the knee. Worried about that long term, because feels like he should be back by now, but I digress. Didn't like the decision to go with Billy Turner at left tackle. To go Turner, Runyon, Myers, Patrick, and Dennis Kelly. Thought that was very, very questionable. You know, we saw Turner at left tackle in the playoffs last year. Played well against the Rams and was a disaster against Tampa. Hasn't played left tackle at all this year. He's been just at right tackle. He's been good. So if he's healthy, then why don't you just play him there? And go with Yosh at left tackle. To move Turner to a spot he hasn't played all year, just so you can keep Dennis Kelly, who I thought Dennis Kelly had played well, but I didn't think Dennis Kelly had been dominant, you know? And oh my God, was he terrible tonight. Oh my God. Kelly and Lucas Patrick in particular, I thought the right side was really bad. But the offensive line as a whole sucked. But Yosh has played well all year. Played well against these 49ers back in September in his first real action. Why not just go Yosh, Runyon, Myers, Patrick, Turner? Felt way too cute. Felt way too overthinking it. Didn't like that decision at all from LaFleur, and I suppose Stenovich is in on that too. Didn't like that decision. Nope. And you saw how they played. They were terrible. They sucked. Rodgers was not comfortable all night. He sucked. The offensive line was terrible. That was a terrible performance. from a group that's, you know, it's been musical chairs there all year. But one of the things I think has been so fun watching this team has been whatever the lineup looks like along the O-line, they played well for the most part. So to see it end largely because of the offensive line's performance is disappointing. Sucks, you know? Because I'm an offensive line enthusiast. Played right tackle at Pop Warner, baby. Played left. They moved me over to the right side because I didn't quite have good enough feet. But I was a good right tackle. you know, it sucks to see that be a part of why that this all came crashing down was shitty offensive line play. And I thought that was kind of, the die was kind of cast on that in the pregame when you went with that lineup. Don't know what that was. The wide receivers were terrible. Nobody could get open. Other than Devontae, nobody could get open. You know? Would have been nice to have MVS. Here's another knock on LaFleur. They didn't have MVS because he hurt his back. When did he hurt his back? Oh, yeah, playing that meaningless game in Week 18 against the Lions. See? That's another LaFleur decision that came back to haunt them tonight. If he didn't play MVS in that game, maybe MVS is healthy tonight. Probably would have been. They missed his speed. They missed his ability to stretch a defense to open things up for everybody else. They missed it. You know, because the Niners basically played Devontae like they played CeeDee Lamb last week. I thought it was funny. I don't know if you saw this. Aikman was on the radio, I guess, in Dallas last week, talking about how San Francisco played San Francisco played Lamb basically single up. And he was disappointed that Dallas didn't make more of an effort to get him the ball. And he said, you know, if that had been me and Michael Irvin, Michael would have had 10 catches by halftime. So I saw that and I thought, you know, if San Francisco plays Adams that way, he might get up around 200 yards. And early in the game, that's what they did. And Rodgers just did what Dallas didn't do last week. Just went to Adams over and over again. And then San Francisco wised up and said, well, we're going to run bracket coverage on him. And what else do you have? And nobody else could get open. Nobody else. Did you see the stats? Wide receivers not named Devontae Adams. One catch, 6 yards. Allen Lazard with that catch. Cobb targeted once, no catches. You know? The wide receivers were terrible. Other than Adams. They couldn't get open. Just, and you know, for people like me who have said for years that their constant ignoring of the wide receiver position in the draft, you know, here's another one where it hurt them. Just like it hurt them last year against Tampa, not having enough capable guys who could get open against a good defense in the playoffs. Surprise! Just ignoring the position. This is what happens to you. You have to rely on guys. Look, Lazard's a nice regular season player. He's not a postseason guy. You know? Cobb is washed up. Washed up. Sorry to say that. I think that was pretty clear most of the season. Made some plays here and there, but for the most part, he was washed. Would have been nice to have some wide receivers, huh? Yeah, but they ignore that position in the draft. And this is what happens. You are what you draft, and you are what you don't draft. And that hurt the Packers. I think LaFleur, you know, talked about he called a bad game, didn't like. They just clearly, once San Francisco bracketed Adams, they didn't really have any, they, you know, it was kind of like, well, that's it. I don't really know what to do now. So that's not a great reflection on the head coach. Aaron Rodgers. This is the part we talk about Aaron Rodgers. He was bad tonight. He was really bad. 20 of 29, 225 yards. No touchdowns, no picks. 7.8 yards per attempt. I believe I saw after the game that was the first time since the NFC Championship game win over the Bears back in 2011 that Rodgers has been held without a touchdown pass in a playoff game. He was bad, you know. He missed a lot of throws. Had Adams up the sideline. I can't remember, that was in the second half when Norman came into the game, had Adams up the sideline, missed him, terrible throw. It looked like there were guys open at times he didn't see. When the guys, in that rare case, guys actually did get open. There were a couple of times I think he missed Cobb. There was one play in particular. So it's not just all on the wide receivers, of course. He, you know, even the throws he made, the one throw to Adams, the 24-yarder that set up the Crosby field goal. In the, was it the third quarter? Yeah, the third quarter. Yeah. When was that? Hey, man, just give me a break, all right? My mind is a bit of a mess. Yours is too. Yeah, the throw to Adams, the play action to Adams, he's crossing the field that picked up 25. That set up the Crosby field goal. That was not a great throw. It was a great catch by Adams to go down and scoop it up. So even the throws he made, I didn't think were great. Weird body language from Rodgers. I'm not trying to be the body language police. But I'm not going to lie, it felt very much, and I will talk about this probably more, it felt very much like watching Favre in that game in 08 against the Giants. Just kind of a weird vibe from Rodgers. Just didn't seem like he was that into it tonight. You know, I don't know if that's reflective of anything other than just tonight, but it just felt that way. Didn't feel like he was, especially, you know, late in the game. I didn't get that, like, I'm going to grab this fucker by the reins. We're going to win this game. Just felt very, eh. James Jones, former receiver who I love, we all love, Double J, Hoodie, was on Fox 6 here in Milwaukee after the game. They were talking to him via Zoom, and he was saying, you know, I didn't think Rodgers, he goes, I didn't think Aaron was pressing at all. And I thought, you know, I agree. And that was part of the problem. I didn't feel like Rodgers wanted to grab the game by the reins, you know? Like, at some point, you want the MVP quarterback to force the issue, don't you? And go like, man, this is my game. I'm winning this game for this team. Did you ever get that sense watching Rodgers in this one? Just very, kind of a performance. Again, just like Favre in that game against the Giants. Same vibes. You know, and don't think that's surprising. Because and much like the Favre game, you know, felt like a really harsh period at the end of an era. Tonight feels that way for Rodgers. I'll say that. I know there's some questions on that towards the end of the show I'll get to, but I will just say that now. Yes, I have completely flipped from where I was even a couple weeks ago, maybe even last episode of the show. I actually don't think he'll be back. I think this was his last game as a Packer. Yeah. In fact, I would say I'm like 99% sure that this was the end for him in Green Bay tonight. Yep. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he was bad. Just weird body language, weird vibes, missing throws that he normally makes, which is weird. The toe is finally healthy. Just struggled. You know, he was bad. So, you know, and it sucks. I'll tell you why it sucks. Because they wasted one of the best fucking performances you will see from a Packers defense, or really any defense in a playoff game. That defense was outstanding tonight. 6 points allowed. 6 points allowed. They came up with the big, Amos came up with the big pick in the red zone late in the first half. Outstanding effort from this defense. Back-to-back red zone trips for the Niners, they got 3 points. The Amos pick ended the one, and then they got the field goal that was largely boosted by the Samuel return, which I talked about. 6 points. In a playoff game. Mitchell and Samuel. The two main ball carries. I'm not going to count the two Juszczyk carries. Mitchell and Samuel. 27 carries for 92 yards. 27 carries for 92 yards from those two backs. We all thought that they were going to come in and get bullied by the San Francisco running game, and they didn't. I know somebody's going to say, whoa, what about the Samuel? Giving up the run to Samuel on third down on that final Niners drive was bad. Yes. Let's get that out of the way. That was bad. The defense is not totally without blame. To get beat on a running play in that spot is pretty inexcusable. But for the rest of the game, I mean, 27 carries for the game as a whole, I should say, 27 carries for 92 yards from those two outstanding San Francisco. I know Debo's a wide receiver, but you know what I mean. For this year, I'm talking about him as a running back. 27 carries for 92 yards. We all thought that was everybody's concern. Oh, they're going to get bullied by San Francisco. The Packers' run defense has sucked. San Francisco is going to come in there and bully them with their run game. Didn't happen. It really did not happen. They got after Garoppolo. They sacked him four times. Four sacks for Garoppolo. Two by Gary. One by Kenny Clark. One by Z. Nice to see Z back there, huh? That was awesome. And what more than likely is his final game as a Packer. Sacked him four times. Hit him seven times. Like, you know, the Green Wave pass rush that I nicknamed them on Twitter last week. They came to play. The pass rush was there. I thought the coverage was good for the most part. You know, they got after the quarterback. All the levels of defense. The run defense was good. They didn't get bullied. They got after the quarterback, covered. You know, they came up with the pick. You cannot waste a defensive performance like that in the playoffs, and that's exactly what they did. They wasted that performance. Sickening. It's disgusting, man. To waste a performance like that from the defense? I don't get it. It's horrifying to me that happened. I can't even now. I'm sitting here. I've been ranting for 36 minutes. I can't even believe that I'm like, they're talking about a loss. Like, we're all going to wake up tomorrow and be like, the season's over? The music stopped for the last, there's no more dance? The last dance is done? You know? And talking about the offense, there were a couple of other things that hurt. The Lewis turnover really hurt. They were up 7-0. They got the Niners to go 3-and-out. They were charging down the field again. They had all the momentum. It sure looked like they were going to go up 14-0. And for Big Dog to fumble that ball in that spot, and again, what's most likely his last game as a Packer, it was bad. But you can't fumble that ball in that spot. That was a real early killer for this team. And it just, didn't it feel like, oh, okay, here we go. Like, they march down the field, they get the touchdown, they go 3-and-out, here they come, they're going to go up 14-0. Then he fumbled, and it was like, oh, it's going to be a game, isn't it? If you're like me, that's what you thought. You were like, oh, it's going to be a ball game, isn't it? And it was. It sure was. Aaron Jones, I love Aaron Jones. You know that, I talked about the show, I love the kid to death. What do you have, 21 touches for 170 yards? Obviously, a lot of that came on the 75-yarder. So I thought he made a weird decision to cut inside on the 75-yarder near the end of the first half. Felt like he should have just kept running straight or tried to take it outside. I don't really know why he cut that back in. Feels like that probably cost him a touchdown. So a couple other offensive mistakes, you know, that hurt the team, that took points off the board. So, yeah, again, the offense and the defense, the offense and the special teams kind of comboed up to cost this team to end the season. Is there anything else I want to get to before I get to anybody's, get to all the questions? I don't know. I feel like that's, you know, I ragged on the special teams and LaFleur. Yeah, I feel like that's, yeah. So let's get to everybody's questions now, because I know there's a lot, which I always appreciate. Let's start with Twitter. Because that's where I always start. All right. By the way, if you hear a roaring in the background, I'm not sure if my mic is picking this up. I've got my my electric fireplace, my digital fireplace. It's built into my entertainment center. Sweet setup. I got it going down here because it's cold as shit in my basement. All right. So first question comes from Justin Cornwell. At Justin A. Cornwell. Longtime friend of the show. One of the old Podbean hardcore. Shout out to Justin. Empty does not begin to describe the feeling. This is one of those games where my wife asks me, why I do this to myself, and I don't have any kind of answer. I will miss your show each week. Shout out to the Kyles and the rest of the regulars. Oh, that's nice. See, now Justin's in on the act. Justin is showing love to the Kyles. It's a whole thing. I love that there are regulars. I have a group of regulars for the show. That's fantastic. You guys are like my whack pack. If you're a Howard Stern fan, you know that reference. Okay. So, yeah. I mean, you're right, Justin. It's empty. Oh, and thanks for saying you'll miss the show each week. I appreciate that. Although I will be back. I'll be back. It's obviously there's going to be a lot to talk about this offseason. Definitely way more than even last offseason. So I'll be taking a brief hiatus, but I will be back for the offseason stuff. Yeah, you're right, though. Empty is the perfect word for it. It just feels... Yeah. You just feel dumb for watching sports after a game like this. And not even just a game like this. I'll actually even go a step further and say the last 3 years. Games like tonight, they tend to have a way of making you look back. And how can you not at the LaFleur era up to this point? And it just all feels like, what the hell was all this for? Which I talked about on the last show. I said if they came up short in the playoffs, that we were all going to be sitting around going, what were we doing these last 3 years? Like, what was the point of all of it? Because it sure feels empty. You're right. Not just tonight, but it looks back on the last 3 years, all the regular season wins and playoff chokes and getting curb stomped in the playoffs and the first year, then the chokes the last 2 years. Just, yeah. You just go like, what was the point of all of this? And I don't really have an answer. So yeah, you're right. I definitely agree. Javier Cabrera at Ja Cabrera. So Ja Cabrera 24. He was replying because I said I wasn't sure if I was going to do the show tonight or if I was going to sleep on it. And he said raw emotions. And then he put the arrows. So like saying to do it. Yeah, I mean, I thought about it. I was talking to my wife for a while and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to get this all out now. While the wound is still fresh. Because I think that's what you guys and gals like from the show. You like that it's the raw, unfiltered kind of first take about the game. So yeah, I'm here. 42 minutes in, I can guarantee prove I'm here. Another one comes from Bill Amundson at Omaha Badger. Bill, you've written in a few times this year. Appreciate that. Bill writes, our team certainly finds some of the most miserable ways to lose football games. This one ranks high on that list. Offense just couldn't adapt to 17 being doubled, coupled with the Niners' pass rush. Special teams were who we thought they were. Denny Green voice. This stings. Yeah. Yeah, they sure do find ways to lose in miserable fashion, don't they? Just when you think you've seen it all, they find a new way to kick you in the ass. I guess that's so far as the legacy of the last 3 years of these Packers, the LaFleur era. Just when you think you've been kicked in the ass, all the ways one can be kicked in the ass, they find a new way to do it. So yeah, I agree. Yeah, you know, I agree with everything you're saying. You know, like I said, they never really adapted after the Niners went to the bracket coverage on Adams, which is embarrassing. You know, they never really figured out. Like, and that's the thing about the pass rush. I'm glad you brought that up because I did forget to mention this. And this speaks to LaFleur. Another thing I think he screwed up on. I didn't like the offensive line he rolled out there for the game. If it's not working, it's not like you didn't have bench options. You had Yosh. It was clear by really late in the first half, it was clear the offensive line wasn't getting it done today. Okay, so then switch it up. Make an adjustment at the half. Go with Yosh at left tackle. Move Billy Turner back over to the right side. Nothing. Nothing. They didn't do anything to try to switch it up with that pass rush. And they got roasted, didn't they? So, yeah, great stuff. Great stuff. I do have some other Twitter ones. Let me find them here. From Philip Voss at P_Voss, another gentleman who writes in a lot. Philip, I always appreciate that. Thank you for the support. since this is like the end of the season episode, I might as well, like, I want to thank people who have been writing in a lot, you know. Philip writes, "This is the end, bud. We are in for some seriously dark times. This was brutal. They got outworked, outplayed, and outcoached in a game where they had everything in their favor. Complete failure from the top down. This fan base will never trust these frauds again. Spare me the crap when fans doubt this team. We have every right to after this." Okay, so that is grim. yeah. Okay, so yeah, I would tend to, again, I would tend to think you're right that this is the end. I guess I talk about that now. I would be shocked if Aaron Rodgers is back in Green Bay. Just listening to some of his comments after the game, the one that jumped out at me was something to the effect, what was it? If I'm going to keep, let me pull it up. I have it. It's quote, I don't want to be part of a rebuild if I'm going to keep playing. Okay, so that quote right there, that would seem to suggest that he, because that's where the Packers are headed, you know? All that stuff that nobody wanted to talk about because we were having the, you know, this magic carpet ride season, now it's time to talk about it. They're $44 million over the cap next year. Like, almost everybody who's an impending free agent is going to be gone. Devondre Campbell will not be back. Rasul Douglas will not be back. MVS will not be back. Lucas Patrick will not be back. I wouldn't think. You know? And those are just the free agents. I'm not even talking about the guys who are going to be cut. Z will be cut or traded. I would guess Randall Cobb will be cut or traded. Not that that's a big loss, but you know. Mason Crosby, I think, will be done. Guys, like, I think Billy Turner probably will be released. You know, there's a lot, and that'll be, you know, that's more for when I do the kind of the opening off-season show, but I kind of just want to lay down the groundwork for it now, you know. There's going to be a lot of guys that are going to be gone. Preston might be gone. Like, there's going to be a lot, like, it's going to be a different team. And Rodgers, so for Rodgers to say, I don't want to be a part of a rebuild, as it sure seems like the Packers are heading for a rebuild, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out where this is going. He's probably going to ask for a trade. Sometime, I would suspect, in the next couple of weeks. You know? Because that's what they're... For him to come back, and I know I'm doing a total 180 on what I said. It's funny. I was the guy who said all season, he's done. This is his last year. Enjoy it now. Then I started thinking, no, actually, I think maybe he will. Maybe they'll re-sign him. Now I've gone back the other way. He's gone. Yeah. Either he'll retire or more likely ask for a trade. I suspect he's going to ask for a trade, and I suspect it will be to the Denver Broncos. I'll tell you that now. I feel like Hackett is probably... They'll hire Hackett or Getsy, or they'll hire Hackett as a head coach and Getsy as the offensive coordinator, and Rodgers will go to Denver, and maybe Adams goes out there too. Who knows? But the Peter King idea of all three of them going, I could see that happening. So this is certainly the end of Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, I think. I feel pretty comfortable saying that. Are we in for some dark times? Burp, got to keep it real. I suppose that depends on how fast Jordan Love hits the ground running. And what kind of team can they assemble around him? You know, next year probably will be, if Love is the guy, it's probably going to be tough. Yeah. You know, there'll be some highs. There'll probably be a lot of lows. And hopefully you're just looking to see improvement every week. But probably dark times, I would think, at least for next season. But I will say this, if you're looking for a positive in that idea, they're going to get a mountain of picks for Aaron Rodgers. If LaFleur can, or if Gutekunst can hit on most of those picks, or the majority of them, they'll lay down a pretty good groundwork for a team that can, how do I say this? A team that can, almost if you have Love as like a game manager, do you know what I mean? Like, they can lay down a team that can be pretty good around him, and then Love doesn't have to be awesome. He just has to be solid. I mean, look at Jared Goff got to a Super Bowl. You know? Like, you can do it if the rest of the team is really good. And if LaFleur, if Gutekunst, I keep saying LaFleur, if Gutekunst can hit on these picks. So it might be dark times for a minute. Does that make sense? But I don't know if it'll be dark times forever. I know everybody's like, here comes the 70s, but man, we'll see. I don't think that really happens in the NFL now. Where teams are just bad forever. Ooh, my voice is cracked. Teams are just bad forever, you know? Because the parity doesn't really allow it. Maybe that's me trying to make myself feel better, but... yeah, you're right. I mean, they got outworked, certainly on offense. The Niners' defense took the game to them. Once again, a physical, you know, the template that was laid down by the New York Giants, what, 11 years ago? 10 years ago now? Yeah, it was 2012, so 10 years ago. It was ever thus for the Packers offense. A team that can get to the quarterback by sweeping four, or predominantly sweeping four, and play coverage, and smack you around a little bit, they're going to give the Packers problems. And that happened again today. So they certainly got... Their offense certainly got outworked by San Francisco and outplayed, outcoached. Yeah, I agree, you know. One thing I want to talk about, your thing about this fan base will never trust these frauds again. Yeah. I never trust anybody who doesn't doubt their team. Like, I think you should always look at your team critically. These uber-positive Peters and positive Paulies who just, like, rubber-stamp everything the team does and... They're great, and they're going to win the Super Bowl, and this guy's great, and that guy's great, and I love this guy and that guy. I never trust people like that. You should always doubt your team. Not doubt, but you should always be able to look at them critically and go, oh, this could be a hole, or that could be an issue. That doesn't make you a lesser fan. Who started this nonsense? I suspect I know who, but that's insane. But you're right. It's going to be hard for people to trust this. It's going to be hard to love again. So to speak, because, you know, 3 years of this now, it's definitely, you know, that thickens the skin, that's for sure. So I agree with you there. All right, let's go to the emails. Thanks to everybody who wrote in. Oh, wait, do I have one more? I think I do. Hold on. Yes. From Ian Coppins, another regular at Ian Coppins. I knew this was coming. He writes... Should have started at Ian Coppins, right? Should have started Yosh. Thanks for all the hard work on the pods all year. Just the same old with this team. And then he sends a gif of Deadspin. Or not Deadspin, Deadpool. Doing the hand on the head. Yeah. Ian, you're right. I tweeted at you pregame. I said they should have just gone with Yosh. Like you've said every week, they're undefeated when Yosh starts. I don't understand it. I'll never understand why he didn't just get the start at left tackle. Appreciate your kind words about the show. It's fun. It is work. You know, it definitely is work, and I definitely cost myself sleep when I go late on Sunday nights, but I love it, you know? I love doing the show. I love talking to all you guys and gals. It's great, yeah. And even if the Packers suck and we do enter the 70s and 80s, I'm not going to stop. I'm going to keep doing the show. So this will always be here. So those are all, okay, so those were all those were all the Twitter questions. It's 53 minutes, but you know what? This one's going to be long because who cares, right? It's the end of the season. All right. We start with Davin, who is in sunny Casablanca. That's right. Casablanca is listening to the show. Davin's written in before. Nice to hear from you again, Davin. He writes, crap in, crap out. As you pointed out all year, special teams was going to cost us. I can't even write a coherent email, so I won't try. Switching from beer to bourbon, go Bucks, D-Fish. Yeah. Sorry about that. I don't blame you for not even trying to write a coherent email. You could argue I haven't really done a coherent show tonight, so I'm in the same boat as you. Switching from beer to bourbon, is it hard to beer, you're in the clear, beer to hard, you're in the yard? So Davin may end up in the yard after he sent this email. I hope not. But yeah, you're right. I said all year it was gonna be special teams. If something sunk this team, it was gonna be special teams. And that's what it was. That's what it was. Again, as much as I ripped the offense, and they were certainly bad tonight across the board, if the special teams just does their job and plays baseline special teams, a baseline performance, Packers win the game. So, yeah, they cost them. You know, I did say it all year. And you're right, go Bucks. Yeah, Bucks in six. Yeah, it's Giannis' state now. You know what? And it's been Giannis' state, let's be honest. It's been Giannis' state since last summer. And it's now officially Giannis. It's a Bucks state now. They're the team. They're going to be the Wisconsin team that competes for championships and wins championships over the next 5 years. Yeah. So I agree with you there. All right. Next one comes from Sean. He writes, Chris, who do you blame the most for the loss? Obviously, the special teams was a huge detriment. Is it on the special teams coach? LaFleur for sticking with him? The offense was pretty horrible all night also, though. Need to score more. Defense came to play completely gutted by this loss. Yeah, Sean, I'm gutted too. I'm definitely gutted. Who do I blame most? Well, special teams. Yeah, I think that's kind of been the big theme here tonight. Special teams is definitely, in my mind, the most to blame. It's on Drayton, but it's at this point, it's more on LaFleur. Because LaFleur, I mean, you know what Drayton is. And to allow him to continue to be the coach, at some point that falls on LaFleur. So it's the special team stuff to me tonight is more on LaFleur than it is on Drayton, for sure. Yeah, you're right. I talked about the offense. They sucked, you know, 10 points. 10 points. At home. I mean, this offense has been money in the bank for like almost 30 points? For what, the last almost couple months now? So to put up 10, yeah, it's incredibly disappointing. So thank you, Sean. But that's your first time writing in, Sean. I like that. Write in more. Next one comes from Kyle Terpenning. Kyle, who refuses to get Twitter. God bless you, Kyle. We get to the Kyle portion of the show now. He writes, I want you all to understand the night I am having. I was supposed to have an easy day today at work. No switching. Just parked the train and done. But a toilet in one of our cars decided to die. So I get to spend part of this time up to my elbow in shit water. Finally get the toilet unclogged, only to find out the car now needs to come off, so I have to do switching. Railroad rules state I cannot even have my phone on. So now I get to be a nervous wreck the entire time, not knowing what's going on. Only to turn my phone on and see us lose again to the fucking 49ers? What the flying fuck happened? Now I have to listen to 49ers fans and everyone else mock us relentlessly for choking again in what I assume is spectacular fashion. Now the Super Bowl door is shut for good. A wasted season. I'm going home. Still love you, Packers. Man. And if you think you had a bad night, I mean, Kyle was up to his elbows in shit water. So as bad as our night was watching, Kyle probably had a worse night. What the flying fuck happened? Yeah, I mean, I think that's what I've spent the last hour talking about. It's just a total choke job and embarrassment. Yeah, we're going to get mocked. We're going to get mocked pretty good for this. And you know what? You can't really argue with it. 3 years in a row of this shit. It was, and you know what? If you didn't see it, it was spectacular fashion. Because there were so many points I thought the Packers were going to, like, here we go. You know, struggled in the first half. Rodgers hits the pass to Jonesy for 75 down the sideline. I'm like, all right, here we go. We're going to punch this in the end zone, end the first half 14-0, and we're going to start, and then we go. Second half, we're going to take the game over. It didn't happen. Thought it was going to happen after the Gary play. Didn't happen. I mean, those are just two. There were three or four points that I thought the Packers were going to look like they were really primed to grab the game by the lapels and take over, but didn't happen. And yeah, it's a wasted season. The last 3 years have been wasted seasons, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. You talk about Rodgers. Can you imagine if he didn't? Think about the Cinderella story of 2010. Think about everything that had to happen for them to win that Super Bowl. Imagine if DeSean Jackson doesn't run that kickback for Philadelphia that got to help get the Packers in the playoffs, or runs that punt back against the Giants at the end of the game. That helped get the Packers in the playoffs. They were this close to not even getting the playoffs. Rodgers might not even have a ring. And then can you imagine what the discourse would be around him? Good grief. All right. Our last email comes from Kyle, who used to have Twitter. Titles his email, whatever the hell that was. This is going to be a long one, but this is my therapy. Apologies in advance, Lemps. First and foremost, shout-outs to Joe Barry. After a garbage second half of the year, guys like Amos, Kenny, Bain all stepped up massively. By Bain, he means Rashawn Gary. Only 6 points given up is amazing, especially considering that the offense gave them no friggin' help after that first drive. Really proud of that unit and really sad to know that it's likely going to be dismantled this offseason. Water break. Now that that's out of the way, garbage performance by 12, garbage performance by LaFleur. Is there something less than garbage for the special teams? They were that. This team desperately needs a reliable wide receiver too. It's been a need and it's been ignored. Shoutouts to Goot for all he did this year, but that was a big whiff. Hate to be the body language police, but it really looked like Rodgers went full Cutler in the second half. He played a pretty bad game despite what the stat sheet might suggest. Rodgers hates timeouts more than I hate Rodgers' COVID interviews. O-line didn't play great, but the play calling didn't help at all. Speaking of O-line, playing Kelly at right tackle and Turner at left tackle was a mistake. A massive mistake. Nyman should have started at left tackle. LaFleur's play calling was garbage, plain and simple. Outside the first drive and the one play to Jones, it was really atrocious. They didn't do a whole lot. Three of their last four drives had less than 10 yards. 6, minus 9, and 4 yards. What the actual hell? Break to scream into the abyss. I would like to say I've been calling special teams losing the season for the Packers all year, but I'm not special. Everyone has been saying this. This isn't a surprise. I wasn't shocked. It happened, and I just shrugged. It was inevitable. Why in the actual ever-loving bleep was A.J. Dillon playing on special teams? Really could have used him down the effing stretch. Retaining Dillon is on LaFleur. So between that and the play calling, he deserves most of this loss. However, retaining Drayton has Mark Murphy's fingerprints all over it. Oh, and to make it all worse, they only had 10 men on the field for the last field goal. With the season on the line, what the actual hell? Break to have an existential crisis. I gotta take a break to take a drink. Welp, here we are. Headed into an offseason that will rival the Favre saga. Many studs aren't going to be coming back next year. And what do we have to show for it? The most disappointing playoff loss in Seattle. Had a chance to exercise his demons against San Francisco, and Rodgers couldn't do it. LaFleur had a chance to stick it to his coaching tree and show he was the best of the bunch, couldn't do it. Mo Drayton had a chance to prove he could field a pseudo-competent unit for one damn game, couldn't do it. Offseason is going to be a major ride. Things are going to change at 1265 Lombardi Avenue. Next year will look a lot different. Buckle up. Thanks for taking us on this trip, Chris. Always a blast listening. Go Pack, go. That's the longest email, that's the longest question or comment I think I've ever gotten on the show. And I've gotten some doozies. That was the longest one. Kyle, you crushed it, man. This is a Grand Slam comment. Grand Slam email. Touch them all. All right, so we'll just go down the list. Yeah, you're right. I mean, Joe Barry was awesome. Isn't it amazing that Joe Barry, you know... They were so great the first 10 weeks, and then they were terrible, and right when everybody was down on him, his unit turned in their best performance of the season in their biggest game. Hey, Joe Barry, I feel better about Joe Barry after tonight. I'll say that. You're right. It was great. You know, it's funny, reading your email, I'm like, were you listening? Were you, like, outside my basement Packer room listening to me record? Because a lot of this is what I talked about, and I agree with all of it, pretty much. You know? Yeah. The wide receiver two thing is, I'll talk about that again, that was terrible. They never have addressed that. Even a guy like MVS, I feel like, is more of a three. I feel like they never went and got that two. Because it's not Alan Lazard. He's a nice regular season player, but it's not Lazard. Yeah, I talked about the Rodgers thing. It's nice to see other people thought that too. Just, it was a very subdued Aaron Rodgers. Just kind of felt like going through the motions again, like Favre against the Giants in 08. Same vibes. What else here? Yeah, play calling was bad. Yeah, I agree. I talked about the O-line thing. I agree with that. Yeah, I mean, your stat about the last three drives, 6-9 and 4, was terrible. You know? They had everything to play for, and they just sucked. They just sucked. And his play calling was bad. It was bad. Yeah, I talked about, you know, special teams. I don't know why Dylan was out there on special teams. That was a disaster. Because he got hurt and never came back, and it felt like they missed that. Because the thing with Dylan, this is a good point. 1:05 now? Damn, I'm still going. This Packer team never really had that. I talked about the Bucs. The Bucs had got a rep for being kind of soft, that a team you could kind of bully in the playoffs, right? So what did they do? They went out and got Drew Holiday and Bobby Portis, and then they added PJ Tucker at the deadline. Three tough-as-nails MFers who instilled that, you know, the P.J. Tucker, the dog mentality. It's different now. You're not going to bully us in the playoffs. It's a different team because we're here now. And what happened? They won a championship. The Packers never really got that guy. It was kind of Dylan, I think, and I think losing him was a big blow. Not having his presence in the second half, I think, hurt. And I think Campbell was kind of that guy, but they never really got that guy or guys who were like, this team is, it's tougher now. It's a different mentality now because we're here. Dylan was kind of that guy, but you know what I'm saying? It's kind of a larger point I'm making. You know, the tough as nails, they never really instilled, they never got those guys. This team always felt soft. Tonight's no exception. But yeah, having him on special teams was dumb. Yeah, the retaining Drayton thing does have Murphy's fingerprints all over it. Because I think I've talked about this on the show. You know, Darren Rizzi, the excellent special teams coordinator, after he got let go by Miami at the end of 2018, he actually went to Green Bay to interview for the job. For LaFleur's first year, right after LaFleur took over as head coach. And by all accounts, Rizzi wanted the job. And the Packers lowballed him. Which, you know where that came from. That came from Mark Murphy. They lowballed him. Or Mark Murphy and Russ Ball. But they, yeah. And he, like, got on the plane and left. But, like, he wanted the gig. They'd made him an offer which lines up with one of the best special teams coordinators in the game. He would have taken the gig. But they cheaped out on him and he left. Where'd he go? He went to New Orleans. Oh, and they've had one of the best special teams units in the game the entire time he's been there. Imagine if they had Darren Rizzi as special teams coordinator. You think they lose tonight? I guarantee you they don't. So you're right. The Drayton thing does feel like a Mark Murphy move. As a lot of the cheap moves feel like Mark Murphy moves. 10 men on the field goal, talked about that. Yeah, it's going to rival the offseason. I think it's going to... Well, I don't know if it'll rival the Favre thing, and I'll tell you why. I think Rodgers is going to... I think Rodgers has already made up his mind. I think he's just going to kind of let the Packers... You know, he's just going to kind of let them try to sell him, but I think he already knows. He's just being nice, as my mother would say. But I think he already knows, like, he's either going to retire or ask for a trade. So I do think it'll be over quick. I don't think it'll drag out like it did last offseason. I think it's going to be quick. That's my prediction anyways. You're right. You know, that's kind of a theme from a lot of the questions I've gotten tonight, comments, and I've talked about. That's just, it all feels hollow. It all feels empty. This year in particular felt like it was really building towards something special. If this is going to be his last year, we're going out with a bang or whatever. And yeah. I agree, this is the most disappointing loss in Seattle, for sure. It's worse than last year, because last year was at least they made it to the conference championship. To be one and done after getting a bye is just inexcusable to me. You're right. Rodgers couldn't beat San Francisco. LaFleur loses to Shanahan in a big game again. Yeah. You know, you're right. And thanks for your comment on the show. I always enjoy it. You know, I feel like we take this trip together every week. We go on these rides together every week. It's not just me. It's all of us. It's great. It's good stuff. So I'm starting to lose my mind now. But I do have one more. The hammer goes to my former Old Bag of Donuts podcast co-host, Gene Bosling. I've always thought your Rodgers' NFL Kobe take is perfect. But I realized tonight there's a flaw in it. Rodgers is no Black Mamba. Black Mamba makes plays to grab that game by the nuts when it's sitting right there. Black Mamba doesn't add to the long list of missed it by that much laments from the post-game podium in the playoffs. Black Mamba rises to the occasion for once. How many transcendent playoff games in Rodgers' career? Atlanta in 2010 and probably the Super Bowl. Since then, maybe the Dallas game in 2014, Arizona in 2015, probably Dallas in 2016, but not ever in an NFC title game and rarely ever at Lambeau. When I said weeks ago they should keep him, I told you to save it for posterity in case this happened and I changed my mind. This is the reason I'm done. Jimmy Garoppolo made more big plays tonight. The team that was going to be so sorry they didn't draft him, they're 4-0 in the playoffs against him after going 1-4 against Favre. Jerry Rice fumbled. This isn't worth the trouble anymore. I will close this up with your other great basketball analogy to describe this team. The Last Dance photo should have been a picture of Malone and Stockton. You know what? Another round of applause for that one from Gene. Gene, you always bring it. So, if you don't know, because Gene and I are friends, so you don't see our texts, I've said for years that Rodgers is NFL Kobe in the sense that I don't suspect that many of Rodgers' teammates actually like him that much, that they tolerate him because he's so brilliant and he helps them win. And he's got kind of that singular focus, almost better suited to be like a tennis player or a golfer than a football player. Kobe, I think, had that as well. I've always said there's a lot of similarities between Rodgers and Kobe. But you're right. I mean, you're right. Black Mamba, Kobe doesn't choke those games away. Kobe doesn't turn in subpar, didn't turn in a ton of subpar performances in big spots like Rodgers has. And you're right, you know. I went back and looked game by game this week. He does not have a lot of big-time eye-popping playoff performances. Where you go like, wow. He doesn't. You're right. That's totally true. You're right. Atlanta, the two Dallas games. Yeah, it's not a lot. And you're right. He's rarely ever been really great at Lambeau. Which is funny because for years he carped about, isn't it funny now in hindsight in the McCarthy era, he always carped about, oh, we need playoff games at Lambeau. We need to be playing these big games at Lambeau. And then he gets them the last 2 years and he's gagged. He's been terrible in both. Don't look at his stat line against Tampa last year. He was not good in that game, and he was bad tonight. For years, it was not going to get a playoff game at Lambeau, and he gets him, and he's bad at him. So, yeah, I agree with you on that, you know? And you're right. Garoppolo did make more big throws tonight. He made more gots to have this throws than Rodgers did. I agree. I think you could say he outplayed him. Even, which is crazy when you look at Garoppolo's stat line compared to Rodgers, but he at least went toe-to-toe with them in terms of big throws and probably had more, as you say. Yeah, it's not... I think... You know what's funny? Boy, I'm going long here. It's funny that people in unison, I feel like, have kind of said that they're done with Rodgers. That's interesting to me. Because, you know, people will complain about Rodgers on social media after the Packers lose in the playoffs. But he's always got his defenders too. Tonight was the first time it felt like almost everybody in unison was like, okay, it's time for him to go. Much in the same way I think everybody was, again, after Favre, after 08 with Favre against the Giants. It just felt like, okay, you know what? This isn't ever going to happen here with you, is it? It's time to go. It'll be interesting to see if people change their tune. I said this on Twitter. in the days and weeks to come. But tonight is the most in unison I've seen Packer Nation kind of say, you know what? It's over. It's over now. And I assume a lot of that has to do with people being mad about Rodgers', you know, his views on certain things, which I already talked about that when that happened around the time of the Kansas City game. But I suspect a lot of people are still pissed off at him about that, which I understand. But I think people are pissed off at him about last offseason, too, and all the drama and all the shit that he kind of dragged the team and everybody through. I think that, combined with his interviews he's given this year and his thoughts on various things, I do think people are just done with him. Because I think for a lot of people, it's like, you know what, man? If you're going to drag us through all this bullshit, you better go out there and perform when it matters. And he didn't. Again, he didn't. So, you know, yeah. I think most people are kind of like, it's time to move on. Because if it's not going to happen with the way everything's stacked up for this team the last 3 years, the last two in particular, it's probably not going to. It's probably time to just to kind of really blow the thing up. Yeah, and then the last dance photo, that was way back in the summer when Rodgers and Adams did their Instagram thing with showing the photo of Pippen and Jordan, indicating that this would be the last dance. I said, and it's still the most popular tweet I've ever sent. I think it got like 8,000 likes, 7,000 or 8,000 likes. I said, I think this is the photo they meant to tweet. It was a photo of John Stockton and Karl Malone. But you know what? I almost feel bad even saying that, because Stockton and Malone at least got to a fucking NBA Finals. Didn't see Adams and Rodgers ever do that, so, yeah. Okay, so thank you to everybody who wrote in questions and comments. Holy shit, this has been a ride. There is no big picture. It's a minute and 16, an hour and 16 minutes in, there's no big picture. I guess, yeah, now we head into the offseason. We wait and see what Rodgers does and what his thoughts are and what he wants to do next and kind of just go from there. I'm going to take a little break from the show. I don't know when you'll hear from me again. Maybe when something happens with Rodgers, if it's important enough. If it's just, I'm not just going to do a show when there's fucking speculation on everything. But if something actually happens, if he actually like requests a trade or something, I'll probably hop back on. But otherwise, I think I am going to take a break, probably at least through the Super Bowl. Yeah, I don't really have any kind of, I think I've talked about the season and everything. I don't really have any kind of tagline I can put on this or whatever. So, you know, thanks to everybody who's been tuning in all year. You guys and gals are great. I love all of you. I love interacting with you when you guys send messages and stuff. People seem to enjoy the show. It makes me really happy. I'm going to keep going. Yeah. So that's it. I don't know when the next show will be. Soon. I would suspect maybe within a month or so. But, you know, who knows? So until next time, whenever that may be, I am Chris Lempesis. This has been Lemp's Talking Pack. Thank you so very much for listening all season long. The ending sucked, but doing the show is always great. Please stay safe and take care of yourselves out there in this crazy world. And remember, always and forever, go Pack.